And good afternoon, and welcome to Lambda Weekly. I'm David Taffet, and I am here in the studio with a couple of guests. Patty is away for the weekend. Laurent is in the hospital with his baby. Gabrielle, get better. She was just one about two weeks ago, and first time she's actually really sick. And she's in the hospital. She'll be fine. Laurent should be back next week. And Alex is with his family for the weekend. So just me here today. But not really just me here today. I'm here with Joe Pichetti and Melissa Grove. They're from Legacy Counseling Center and Legacy Founders Cottage and anything else Legacy. Welcome.
Welcome. Thank you for having us.
Oh, we're glad that, I'm so glad that you were free to come this week. This isn't the easiest week to book people, but I'm glad that you're here. Did you have a nice Christmas?
Oh, it was nice to get together with family and just have some time to relax and get to be with everyone.
Yeah.
Beautiful Christmas. I was in Aspen.
Ah,
lots
nice.
Of snow. Barely made it home last night. But glad to be here today.
We had snow.
I know.
First time since 1926.
Half the people couldn't make it to my Christmas. Half the family couldn't make it to my Christmas Eve party.
Uh-huh.
I still have two huge pork tenderloins. I need to figure out what I'm going to do with.
I'll be over later.
I'm a volunteer.
Yeah. But first time. But day before it was 71 degrees.
That's Texas.
Typical Dallas weather. Well, you're here from Legacy. Melissa, you've been with Legacy for 75 years.
Yes, yeah, so I think that's a give or take a decade or two, yes.
What is Legacy?
Well, Legacy is the largest provider of HIV/AIDS counseling in the South. What's fun is that Legacy was started in 1989 by a small group of people living with AIDS. It was 13 gay men with HIV, and really back then there wasn't a lot of places you could go or resources for people with HIV, and gay men couldn't even tell other gay men they were positive. It was so stigmatized. So they just found if they bonded together, it really helped them survive and do well. And so out of that small group of people living with HIV, only one is alive today.
Mm. But out of that, this was back early 90s.
This is 20 years ago. Yeah. This is our 20-year anniversary.
Late 80s, right.
Yes, yeah. Yes, 1989. And so out of this small group of people living with AIDS, they turned to each other, and then it ended up as a grassroots effort to turn into a counseling center. And it's had a really interesting history. Originally, it was all volunteers. It was very catch-as-catch-can. And if someone called up, you'd pick up the phone and go, "Hey, can someone see this guy? Come on over." And it was very, relaxed. And so as the years have rolled on, we've gotten more and more support, and we've grown and grown and grown, and we've been able to meet the needs of the Dallas community.
Okay, so those needs have evolved into several different areas that you work in. One is your counseling area.
Yes. Originally, we started out just doing mental health counseling. What we provide at the counseling center is individual counseling. That's just one-on-one issues. Two is group counseling. As you can imagine, that could be very useful. Couples counseling. We do, same-sex couples more than other sex couples. And we have, individual, family, couple, and group therapy.
But it's all HIV related.
Everyone who we see is HIV positive, or they're a negative partner or a family member of a positive person. Now, many of you may remember Oaklawn Community Services. When they folded, we absorbed their mental health and substance abuse program. And so we've been doing that since
2000.
That's right. Boy, that's impressive.
They closed January 1st, 2000.
That's right. And so that in 2000 is when I became executive director. I had opened the cottage. And then I moved over to open the counseling center. I thought, we can do this. This is too important to fall by the wayside. So we have a substance abuse program, and what we provide there is an intensive outpatient program, and we do individual substance abuse counseling and aftercare. So the intensive substance abuse program is when you don't really need to go inpatient anywhere, and you don't need to detox, but you really are having a lot of issues with substance abuse, and you need to get those resolved.
Well, let's talk about those a little bit. First of all, who are you seeing mostly? Is it drinking problems, drug problems?
Wow, it's really it really fluctuates. There is a lot of alcoholism. There's a lot of meth use. There's a lot of heroin addiction. There's a lot of prescription pain addiction. There's a lot of prescription pain abuse, as we've seen with a lot of celebrities these days.
Melissa, are people turning to these drugs and alcohol to cope with their condition that they're in, with their diagnosis? Is that what it is?
That's a really good point, Joe. Well, the way I always explain it to people is HIV and AIDS is like putting a giant magnifying glass on any problem you've already got. So if you're bad with relationships and you become positive, it's going to worsen that. If you have a substance abuse issue, it's going to worsen that. If you don't know how to cope with a problem and you just want to numb your pain, yes, substances are, that's when a lot of people can really start getting into it. And for mental health issues, there's the official term is post-diathesis stress model, that a mental illness may never surface unless you're under a lot of stress. Mm-hmm. And then when you are, it will come out. And so I think that's what we see a lot of people who may have a predisposition to depression or other issues like that. Once they find out they're positive, again, it magnifies everything. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think it is, the way I like to explain to people is if I said to you, I will give you a phrase that if you say it, you will believe that your family will leave you, your job will fire you, no one will ever love you. How likely would you be to say that phrase? Probably not very likely. Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of people, when they find out they're positive, that's the thing. Those are the things they think that are going to come true. Mm-hmm. So is it any wonder that people have a hard time disclosing their HIV status? Mm-hmm. Now, as many of us know, that is not the case. But it takes it's a pretty big bridge to get from believing that deeply to accepting it and being able to disclose your status to someone.
Well, but in many cases, that is true that the family abandons somebody who
has
HIV.
That's true. That's absolutely true. And it is possible that you could be fired if you disclose at your job. Disclosure is a very sticky topic. And if I had $10 for every time I gave the how to disclose your HIV status talk with someone, then we wouldn't be doing wonderful fundraisers like we've got coming up right now.
Wonderful segue. So, let's talk, because Legacy, while you rely on insurance for some people, and some people do have it, Legacy is a nonprofit organization. Joe, you have a wonderful fundraiser that you're spearheading. What is it?
Well, I was fortunate enough to be seated next to Leslie Jordan, the hilariously funny comic who was on Will and Grace. People know him as Brother Boy from Sordid Lives. Just an amazing man. It was a benefit for Friendly House in Los Angeles, which is for alcohol abuse. And Leslie and I were seated together, and I believe it was late September. And he said, well, I'm coming to Texas for the holidays and going to hide out in Fort Worth for a week and just regenerate myself. And I said, oh, Leslie, I need you. Can you help me with something? And he said, well, Joe, I'll do anything for you. You've been so generous to us out here. What can I do? And I said, well, I'm involved with a charity called Legacy Counseling Center and the Founders Cottage, which is sort of a hospice in Oak Cliff that takes care of people that are HIV and AIDS. And he said, well, what could I do for you? I don't understand. And I said, well, you could come and we could have just a little small intimate gathering and have a couple hundred people. And
small and intimate.
Small and
just
intimate.
Just a few hundred of your best friends.
And have some cocktails and hors d'oeuvres and just call it an intimate evening with Leslie Jordan. And you'd get up and do one of your little skits and talks, and people would have a lot of fun, and we'd charge money for that, and the money would go to the counseling center and to the Founders Cottage. And he said, well, I think I can do that. And I said, you know, I think it would be really great to do it the week between Christmas and New Year's. People are on a high. They're feeling good about the holidays. It's their last chance to give some money away in this tax year. And you know, while they're in the spirit of giving, let's do it this way. So we decided we would do it on Tuesday, the 29th, which is this coming Tuesday. Is that 2 days away?
Yes, yes, 2 days away.
Hello.
Yes. So we do have a few tickets left, and they can certainly be bought at the door that night as well, or they can be bought by calling the Legacy Counseling Center, and I'm going to give you the telephone number, so get a pen. It's 214-520-6308, extension 1.
And somebody is answering those calls today.
Monday and Tuesday, there'll be someone answering.
Well, actually, if you leave a message, if you call and leave a voicemail, Kim will call you back today within the hour.
Okay. Perfect.
Great.
The tickets are $85 a person, mm-hmm. and that includes some delicious food from Doris, who is cooked for me for 18 years. She helps me keep my weight on. There are some drinks that we're going to serve. Brandon Olds, the DJ from Bold Entertainment, is going to be there with some music. And Christina Bowman, the photographer who's been so generous to so many charities, is volunteering her services as well, as well as Brandon, the DJ. And if you want to be a patron of the event or a co-host of the event, then you can pay $500 and you'll have a little pre-time with Leslie before everyone else. And he'll walk around the room and chat with everyone, and then he'll get up and do a little skit. Mm-hmm. It'll be about a two-hour evening. It'll just be a wonderful evening. It's at the Vendome, which is one of the beautiful luxury high-rises on Turtle Creek, 3505 Turtle Creek.
Right by Lee Park.
Right by Lee Park, there at the corner of Lemon Avenue. And it'll be in the club room there on the mezzanine. And thanks to Don Geiser, who's so generous to so many charities, he's a resident in the building and has got us that location. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a beautiful, fun evening.
And there are regular tickets available for $85, and that includes the drinks, the food, the free valet, of course, the time with Leslie, and the DJ, and the hall of the fun.
Melissa, have you ever met Leslie?
I've heard that his what you think he is exactly what you're going
to
get.
He's been to our office several times. He walks in, and he just gets going. There is no stopping him. He is exactly what he is.
He's his character all the time.
He's not playing a character. That's him. That's him.
Oh, it sounds like a lot of fun. I mean, it's going to be a great night. We've got a lot of great people coming already.
And the point is, he's not one of these, well, I'll stay backstage until it's time for me to perform. He will be there all over talking to everybody because you can't stop him from doing that.
Leslie went online and kind of looked up about Legacy Counseling Center, and he was very impressed with the great reputation, the longevity of it, the service for the community, and that's when he agreed to do something for Legacy. And I was really thrilled because it's one of the causes that I've believed in and I've contributed to for years. And I'm thrilled to be able to have him here.
You couldn't have a more fun person being at this event because it will not just, you won't be able to tell when the chat time stops and the performance actually begins. It's all the same thing.
What's nice, David, about it, and Melissa as well, is that it's such a small venue mm-hmm. that it's going to be an intimate evening, just like we've entitled it. And people will be able to talk to Leslie and approach him and ask him any kind of question.
Yeah, he's completely approachable.
He'll probably give you the answer.
Oh.
And while we have tickets at the door, our Legacy birthday party this last year, that's sold out. So I definitely would encourage and appreciate if people call in and get their tickets in advance so to secure their place, because you'd hate to get there and then not, us not have tickets.
What's being catered also? Do you want to get a count ahead of time?
Oh, that would that would be helpful. It would be wonderful. Yes, we'd appreciate
it. We're trying to limit it to about 200 people, so it won't be too crowded. It'll be intimate. Like I said, people will be able to talk to them, and we have room for 200 comfortably in there. And prepare food and drinks for 200 with no problem.
And serve nicely. And
I think it's going to be a beautiful, fun evening. It's going to be casual. I mean, people can wear whatever they want. They're in the holiday mood, then drag out your drag, and come on. It's going to be a fun evening. I'm really looking forward to it.
Sounds fun. And you really are supporting a wonderful cause, because the cause is Legacy. We're going to talk a little bit more going back to the counseling side. Tell us a little bit about Founders Cottage. What is that?
Yes, well, I was a therapist 18 years ago at the second intern at Legacy, and we would see our therapy clients, and you'd call your clients to say, hey, are you coming in for your session today? And people would tell us, oh, I'm so sick, I can't even get off the sofa. And so we said, well, we'll come to your home and do the session. It's because you develop relationships. So we'd go out there, and literally people would be laying on their sofa, dying alone. Without, they don't have a partner, their family's left them, they were super sick, they couldn't reach a glass of water. It was ridiculous. So we said, this is ridiculous. The nursing homes didn't want them, the hospitals were kicking them out because there was nothing more that could be done. So we said, we've got to do something about this. So back in 1996, we opened Legacy Founders Cottage. And our website is www.legacycounseling.org. If you want to see a picture, click on the cottage. It's a beautiful baby blue 7-bedroom home, and it looks deceivingly small from the front, and you get in, you go, boy, this sucker goes back a ways. But it's a 7-bedroom home, and every patient gets their own private room. And what we do is there's two programs. We have our hospice program, so if someone has been diagnosed with 6 months or less to live and the aggressive treatments aren't going to work for them anymore, then we can move them in and surround them with love and provide everything they need to be comfortable, you know, all the cooking, cleaning, laundry, everything they need on that end, day-to-day bathing, feeding, changing, whatever they need, but also, you know, providing them the love they need, and 24-hour-a-day nurse aid care. So whatever their need is, we can make sure they're comfortable. And the families can come over and they can stay. If we have spare room, we'll let the family stay overnight. And we try to do meals together. It's a lovely place.
I want to interject something here. Melissa, as you know, I've supported this cause for many years and believed in it and just written a check. But David, for the first time, I went over probably in October for the first time. It's such a clean facility. I was so impressed by the cleanliness of it, by the friendly staff. The two nurses that were there were incredible. They were so full of love and showed so much respect and dignity for the clients that are living there. And it just really did my heart good to be able to go there and see what I've been giving to was such a great environment for someone in that position. And I just want to commend you, Melissa, on that.
Thanks. Well, I think that you would agree it is a home. I call it a facility, but really it is an actual home. And with all the amenities of a home, it's very comfortable and home-like. And, you know, the thing that warms my heart when I go over there is I've been with Legacy so long I opened that place. Every stick of furniture has been donated. So many people, I mean, a lot of people, you may know me from around the clubs, because I go out to so many fundraisers for Legacy. But Legacy has been built with hundreds and hundreds of people like Joe who just dive in there and get it done. And when I look around and I see the sofa that was donated by this person or the art that was done by Jim Frederick and donated, or, you know, that really reminds me, because I'm always impressed at how often the community comes out to support not just Legacy but all the AIDS charities. It is ridiculous. I would love to find a group of people that give more than the GLBT community in Dallas, because I don't think that exists.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. And I really appreciate it. I don't take it for granted. But the cottage is a home, and so for some people, that is the final place they will live. We will care for them till their final breath. And that's another neat thing about Legacy is we, from the moment a person gets their diagnosis at the health department, Kay Cadell will pick up the phone and say, Melissa, we've just got someone who's tested positive. And we'll get them in there immediately, or I'll personally drive over there and meet with them. Mm-hmm. So from that moment and all through every struggle they may have with their disease or with life in general, because life can be challenging, if they're sick at the cottage and care for them and nurse them back to health through our transitional program, but then if everything that can be done has been done, we can bring them on our hospice program and maximize quality of remaining life. One thing that's amazed me, stunned me, impressed me, is many clients have told me that is the happiest time of their life. Hmm. And I couldn't believe it. And I'm like, tell me more, because I can't even imagine that. But they said, never in my life have I felt this accepted and loved and cared for.
Hmm.
And isn't that what we all want, to be loved and cared for?
And you would think that is just normal and what families are for. We need to take a break.
Sure.
We're talking to Melissa Grove and Joe Pichetti. They are from Legacy Counseling Center. We'll be back with more Lambda Weekly right after this.
The KNON Vehicle Donation Program is available now to take your used car, truck, or boat before the end of the year. You'll get a tax deduction and help support the quality programming on KNON. The number to call for service is 866-KNON-AUTO. Call 866-KNON-AUTO before December 31st to make a tax-deductible donation of your used vehicle, or donate online at KNON.org.
You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM, Dallas and Fort Worth, the voice of the people.
And this is Lambda Weekly. I'm David Taffet, and I'm here in the studio with Melissa Grove and Joe Pichetti. They are from Legacy Counseling Center. Legacy has a big fundraiser coming up on Tuesday with Leslie Jordan. It's going to be held over at the Vendome over on Turtle Creek, right near Lee Park. Tickets are $85. The number to get tickets, if you'd like a ticket, is 214-520-6301.
6308,
extension 1, I'm sorry, 520-6308, extension 1. And just leave a message, somebody will get right back to you, because the event is Tuesday, so they want a good count on how many people are actually coming. We were talking a little bit about, you know, the Legacy Founders Cottage being a wonderful place. Some of it is end-of-life care. Some of it, though, really, it's kind of developed into not necessarily end-of-life care. And this is one difference between you and a hospice.
Right, right. One of the things we've noticed is that people go to the hospital, they're very ill, and then the minute a hospital thinks they can get you out the door safely, they're going to do that. And I guess that makes sense. But there's a lot of people who still really could use a lot more support and care. Otherwise, what happens is they keep cycling back through the emergency room, and it never ends. So what we have is our transitional program, where we'll move people in, make sure they're on the right, you know, get them to the hospital, get to the doctor, get them on the right meds, teach them how to take their medications, teach them the skills they need to stay healthy. A lot of these people come to us at 85 pounds. Sherry does a great job of packing on the weight. She's a great cook.
Well, and that's one of the symptoms of HIV itself is weight loss.
Yes, weight loss. And a lot of people who go to the hospital go with pneumocystic pneumonia or another opportunist infection, and they lose a ton of weight. And people come in, and they can look like skeletons. And there have been times I've gone back, and I said, oh, you must be our new resident. And they said, no, it's me, John.
Mm-hmm.
And he's gained so much weight that I didn't even recognize him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that is a success story in my book. One unfortunate trend I've been finding is that a lot of people never bother to get tested for HIV. They just want to ignore it. Well, the problem is there's so many great meds. If you just get tested and get treated early, you could live a long, normal lifespan. The problem is a lot of people are in denial. They don't want to get tested. And then they end up in the hospital with an opportunist infection, which tends to mean you are now diagnosed with full-blown AIDS. And they're in the hospital 2-3 months, and in that 2-3 months, they lose their job, because how many of us could not show up for work for 3 months and keep our job? They lose their housing because they can't pay any of their bills, and they have nothing, and they're very ill. And we've had hospitals refer them to us for hospice, and I'm like, this is a 24-year-old man. Has he even been tried on the AIDS medications? They say, well, I don't think so. I'm like, hello, we need to do that. So we'll get them, and it is a lot of work.
Yeah, that just astounds me. I remember back in 1997 when these drugs came out,
mm-hmm.
A friend of mine was in the hospital. Of course, he had 2 weeks to live. And I said to them, have you tried any of the medications? Or I think he was on the medications, had just started them, and they took him off all medication because they were treating him for something else. And I said, no, you know, and I insisted. And I was insisting to the point of being obnoxious, where they were ready to throw me out of the hospital. I said, if you don't put him on these medications, I'm going to, you know. And I have a big enough mouth. Anybody who knows me well knows that. And they did, and he lived another. He just passed away, I think, last year.
Mm-hmm.
But he lived another 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
Yeah, but they weren't going to do a thing.
Well, you know, back in 1996 was the year we opened the cottage, and that's actually the year the meds were released. And I kind of thought, well, I'm too bad I went to all this trouble to open this facility. There's not going to be any need for us, because they just came out with all the miracle HIV meds. And on top of that, we know how to prevent it. So there's going to be no need for this place. Well, I'll just ride it out. Well, you know, here we are, mm-hmm. 14 years later, and we're full. We have 7 beds at the cottage. It's a 7-bedroom home. And, of course, that's, you know, heartbreaking and frustrating to me, because getting tested early can really solve so many problems. Getting treated early,
But again, originally it really was hospice care for people who you couldn't do anything for. And now you've changed.
We do both now because we feel like we want to offer options to people. And this last year we've had a fantastic success of five people who were sent to us to, quote, die. We've nursed back to health through a lot of hard work, a lot of caring, a lot of attention to detail. Mm-hmm. Emily Graves is our director. And I describe her job, it's like, imagine if you had seven family members who were all very ill living at your house. And you were coordinating all... And you are coordinating all of their care, all the appointments to the doctor, all the medicines. You were teaching them how to take their meds. You were keeping it, you know, overseeing the nurse aides who were caring for them, making sure they were happy and comfortable, loved. She's got a very challenging job down there. And I think one of the things people like about Legacy is we don't have a huge administrative staff. I'm the executive director. I do all the grant writing, fundraising, staff management, government compliance, everything. I'm at every drag show. I've got some wonderful board members like Leon Catlett and Wade Hyde and Michael Lovello. They've been easing my load this holiday season because it gets to be quite a bit. But I'm administrative. Kim, who will be calling you back to get your tickets, she's administrative. But everybody else out of all of our employees are direct service to clients. I think people appreciate that. They want to hear the money's going to services. Don't you think?
Sure. And speaking of that money.
Yes.
Joe.
Okay. So for whoever didn't hear about it, we are doing a wonderful event. It's a benefit this Tuesday, the 29th, 2 days from now. Mm-hmm. And it's with Leslie Jordan, the wonderful comic from Will and Grace, and played Brother Boy in Sordid Lives. He's actually was on Boston Legal. He's got a movie coming out. Leslie has agreed to do this wonderful benefit for us. It's going to be an intimate evening with Leslie Jordan, about 2 hours long, the Vendome, 3505 Turtle Creek, there at the corner of Lemon and Turtle Creek, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., Tuesday the 29th. Tickets are $85 a person starting, and you can buy the tickets by calling 214-520-6308, extension 1. They will leave a message there. They will call you back, and there are tickets available at the door, but we'd love for people to buy earlier so we can kind of get a head count because we have some delicious food we're going to serve and some drinks. Mm-hmm. Brandon Olds, the DJ, is going to spin some music for us. He's volunteered. Christina Bowman, the wonderful photographer from our community, is volunteering her services. It'll be a great, just like it says, intimate evening. Everyone will be able to interact with Leslie, ask some questions, and then he'll get up and do one of his little queen routines.
And a number of people have seen him on stage, but that's not a character on stage. That's just him, and he'll just be out among everybody.
He is fabulous.
Yeah.
We were seated next to each other, as I said earlier, at an event in Los Angeles for a charity, and he entertained me the entire thing, the entire time. He was just incredible.
Yeah, that's just the way he is.
I'm thrilled that I was able to get him to do it for us. I mean, it's just going to be super, super thing. I want to say something about the cottage. As I said earlier, I had not been until October. And usually for Thanksgiving, I'm in New York in my apartment, and then I volunteer at a shelter there. But this year, I was in Dallas because my daughter had things going on, and I said, okay, I want to do something. I went to the cottage. Oh, my God. It was so filled with love on Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. Those clients that were there were so happy. Greg Gunter was in that kitchen. His dressing was as good as my mother's, I think. I'm not going to tell my mom that, but the food was fabulous. Everyone was so happy to be there and have a loving environment where they were treated with respect and dignity. And Melissa, I have to commend you again on that. It's just a beautiful, beautiful place for someone to be at that stage in their life. In a compromised situation, they have a wonderful place to go.
Mm-hmm. And you know, this always, and we have this discussion on the show all the time about how you know, I never understand when people, they have trouble coming out after, because to me it was like, you know, I remember my very first time on the radio. I was in college, and it was a call-in show, and one of the first questions I got was, does your family accept you? And I didn't even understand what the question really meant.
Really?
Because it never occurred. And my answer was, do they accept me? They're the ones who are nuts. You know, and it was just like, it was such a normal answer for me, because what do you mean, do they accept me? We all have our own things, and yeah, of course. But it never occurred to me that families don't accept it. Oh, that's what a family is. That means
we're in the Bible Belt, David.
Yeah, I know. Well, this was in New York even that they were asking me these questions. And I just didn't understand the question at the time.
Wow. Well, I think that reflects very well on your family. And, you know, I think a lot of, I'm also a psychotherapist. I like to say I'm a recovering therapist. But, you know, my job is more administrative now and overseeing the agency. But I do see clients, and I've been a therapist for Legacy. I started off that way. And so, you know, I've heard the stories, and I know what people have been through. And it is very difficult for someone to come out a lot of times, not just to their family, but to their people at work, and there's a lot of struggles that go along with it. You know, I think that's the thing that makes Legacy Counseling Center so important and special to our community.
And I guess, okay, this is one of the ways where maybe I'm just jaded because I work in an almost entirely gay office. Mm-hmm. And so the idea of actually having to come out at work. Mm-hmm. Now, you're dealing, though, the counseling that you're doing mostly is HIV-related.
Well, let me put it to you this way. It's not really just HIV-related. It's just regular therapy with therapists who are experts at GLBT issues and about HIV. Because all of our issues are the same. It's just, like I said, it adds a new light to the situation.
Sure. Well, let's say somebody needs counseling, and it really has more to do with family problems, and it has to do with other types of problems. Do you deal with those types of
things? Absolutely. That's the main thing we do, because somebody could come in and not go for a year and never bring up their HIV hardly. It may not be an issue for them. We do regular therapy, but our therapists have that extra angle of the HIV. For example, let's say someone is in a relationship and they think that's their main issue. Well, as we're talking to them, we realize they're not taking very good care of themselves. So we may say, well, how are you doing with your medications? Because if someone isn't taking their medications, that's a therapeutic issue. Mm-hmm. Those are the things keeping you alive. So it is it's not respectful to not take your medications. It's a therapeutic issue. So we don't sit there and talk about HIV for an hour at all. It's absolutely about whatever is going on with you and your life. And who among us, you know, doesn't have something that we need to process and work on? I also want to add that 90% of our clients pay nothing for services. Isn't that amazing?
How do you do that then?
Amazing.
Well, we receive Ryan White Care Act funding. Mm-hmm. We also accept insurance. You know, we work with clients if they have insurance on the copays. You know, we're not out to plan a trip to the Bahamas here. We're trying to provide services. So all of the funding that we have goes back in, and generous donors like Joe, you know, provide money to help make it cost effective. Mm-hmm. Now, if somebody comes in and they're making $300,000 a year, yes, we will be charging them the full price. But on the whole, 90% of our clients don't pay, so please don't let that be an issue, because really, we all genuinely, from Kim at the front desk to all of our therapists, we really want to help you. And so many clients reflect to me when I do my quality management calls, they look fake because the ratings I get on my therapists are so high. I almost am thinking, I hope somebody makes one complaint, otherwise it looks like I completely fake this entire quality management call project. But, you know, here are the issues that we hear a lot about. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of sexual abuse issues. A lot of people are struggling with that, and that affects them in the here and now today. There's a lot of depression. That's probably the biggest thing we see. And depression can be in many different forms or variations. It can be mild, it can be major, it can be episodic. We have sexual addiction issues, of course, a lot of substance abuse issues, a lot of relationship issues. I mean, who among us doesn't have some relationship issues to process? Sometimes somebody will come in for one or two sessions, and that may be all they need, and we're happy to do that for them. Or they may need to come for a long time. But whatever you need. But I know personally, I've helped many people, you know, who are struggling with past very traumatic events, or people who just are having a little bit of trouble figuring out how to handle a situation.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and it's the situational things that you're talking about that might just take one or two sessions.
Absolutely, or just sometimes people want to come in and tell their story. Now, you say, you know, you work in an all-gay office. Well, that's a luxury for you. I have a lot of people who are bank vice presidents who no one knows they're positive, who they're living double lives. I hear this all the time. We also, of course, have some, we have straight clients. I had one man who had to pretend like he had leukemia because no one at his masculine job could figure, you know, he had to justify why he was going out to all these appointments. So he had to read up on leukemia and pretend like he had leukemia. For years. And when he came into the session with me and we sat down, and I said, tell me why you're here today. And he said, well, I'm HIV positive. And then he just started to cry because he said, I've never said that out loud in 10 years. So a lot of people who are positive are not as lucky as you with the family and the job. They're very isolated, you know. And also sometimes we don't want to burden the people we love with what's going on. Maybe you're in a happy, committed relationship. You're positive. They're negative. There's issues right there on both sides. And so we can do individual counseling for both of those folks and then put them together. But, you know, everybody can take it up a notch, no matter where you are in your life. Professional athletes get therapy to crank it up so they can make it to the Super Bowl. So I like to joke, whether you're in the gutter or the top of the world, there's always something that you can grow and learn from counseling. To me, some people see it as a sign of weakness. I think the exact opposite of is true. I see so many people who spend years avoiding their problems, and that avoidance ends up coloring every single action they do. You know, they live in fear, or they live, you know. So it's just really, therapy can be so powerful and wonderful. And again, the key is getting the right therapist. That's very important.
Okay, now, if you are looking for the right therapist, a lot of people are afraid to question anybody. They're, you know, he's a therapist. I'm the patient. Obviously, he knows what he's doing, and that's not always true, is it?
I always find it fascinating that people will spend hours researching their new television, but never put 10 minutes of research into the things that really, really, really matter. I'll speak to all people, not just positive people or GLBT people. I think that it's very important. Obviously, it's good to find someone on your insurance plan so you can afford it.
Sure. And just to be clear, your counseling mostly is HIV-related.
Yes. It all is for a positive person or their negative partners, but we also can refer you.
And that's what I was getting.
Love to be, you know, we're happy to be a resource because we've been doing this in the community so long.
So let's say it's just a couple that needs some counseling. It's not HIV-related, but you don't know who to go to. You can call over to Legacy.
Yes.
Melissa, you'll talk to them.
Absolutely.
And what would you ask them, and what would you tell them to ask the counselor?
Sure. Well, I would, you know, first of all, start off, if you have insurance, start off with people in your plan, because otherwise it's going to be not affordable. If you're GLBT, I would highly recommend really making sure you have someone who has a lot of experience. Now, it may say that in your insurance book, but all that takes is a person to take a pen and make a check mark as a specialty. So you really want to question people.
And is that even listed in the insurance plans?
Yes. Many of them have all sorts of specialties, and all you have to do to be a specialist is check a box. So sometimes, you know, there's a lot of super specialists who are... So I think it's important to really ask someone, how many GLBT clients are you seeing?
Oh, that's a good question.
Why do you feel you're qualified to work with people, you know, with gay and lesbian issues? And I think, you know, this maybe is a little more touchy. Are you gay? You know, and I really don't think a person has to be gay to be a good therapist, but for a GLBT client, but they definitely need to have worked with a lot of GLBT people, in my opinion.
So all you have to do in order to have that specialty is check off the box. So it could be somebody who, I'm a GLBT specialist, but really what their specialty is we're going to convert you back.
Oh, I guess some people could do that. More often than not, I think people are well-meaning, but they're maybe not trained and not educated. A lot of people are gay-friendly, and, you know, they're not going to judge you for being gay, but they may not understand a lot of the intricacies and details and struggles that come up, you know, in therapy for gay people. So that's why I think, you know, asking them, oh, how many gay people have you seen, or why do you think you're qualified to do this? I think that's a fair thing to ask. I'm a therapist myself, and I don't mind if people question me. In fact, it makes me say, wow, this person is doing a good job.
Hold on. We need to take a break. We're talking to Melissa Grove, Joe Pichetti. They are from Legacy Counseling Center and Founders Cottage. They have a big event coming up. We'll talk a little bit more about that. But first, we need to take a break.
Find KNON on the World Wide Web at www.knon.org. Listen to KNON from anywhere in the world with our live internet broadcast stream. See the program schedule and info on all the formats. Find out about upcoming benefits and get your tickets online. Go to knon.org and support great community radio anytime by making a pledge of support to the voice of the people. KNON.org.
You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM, Dallas and Fort Worth, the voice of the people.
Funny.
And you're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. We get guests who ask us that all the time. He said, I like your theme music. It's the theme from the Donna Reed Show. The reason we can use it is that when the Donna Reed Show went on the air, they didn't have the money for a theme song. So what they did was they used some just public domain music. So they picked this song called Music to Wash Dishes By. And that's what that song is.
Well,
music to
message.
Wash Dishes. And yes, it is. And we picked it because we're healthy, wholesome, happy people here. Healthy, happy homosexuals here. We're talking with Joe Pichetti and Melissa Grove. They are from Legacy Counseling Center. Just before the break, you were telling us about what it is that you would ask a counselor when you're actually interviewing the counselor. And maybe that's too strong a word. When you're just talking to the counselor, just to see if there's going to be some kind of fit.
I think a lot of this can be done on the phone before you even bother going in. You know, ask them questions and make sure the hours work for you and that sort of thing. What kind of vibe do you get? If you don't get a good vibe on the phone, it's probably not going to work in the session.
You know, one of the questions he said to ask was just ask them if they themselves are gay. I would think if that counselor isn't comfortable answering that and saying, no, I'm not, but blah, 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 but I have a number of gay clients and I've worked, blah, 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 and this one who did. If they don't have a good, comfortable answer, that might indicate not a good fit.
I don't know. Sometimes, you know, I think if somebody asked me that as a therapist, I'd say, tell me why that's important to you.
Okay.
Because, again, we don't want it to be about us as the therapist. It's about the client, you know.
Okay. And so if you were to ask me that, if I'm on the phone interviewing you, I would say, well, I do want to make sure that you have a good foundation and understanding of who I am before we even begin speaking.
Right. Well, if they scream, no, then that may not be a good sign that that's not a good therapist for you.
Is that what you used to do?
No, never, never. You know, I think that, you know, it's important to also when you get into your first session, you know, give the therapist a chance and understand you could have some resistance to the process. But if you really don't feel like it's clicking and you don't think you're getting anything out of it, trust your instincts. I have private practice clients who come and see me and they go, wow, we have gotten more done in two sessions than I did in 2 years with my last therapist. I'm not bragging. That's pointing to, you know, and I always say, why did you stay so long? They said, well, I assume they were the expert. Well, you know, if you're an intelligent person, if you don't feel like it's helping you, you probably have a good point.
And that person might be an expert. You're just not clicking.
Well,
with
them. And it's a relationship like anything else. You can't expect the blind date to end in the wedding every time.
Right.
So you get in there, and if it's not working. Now, on the other hand, if you've been to four or five therapists and none of them have worked for you, then you need to pick one and stick with it because there's probably an issue with you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then let's go with that a little bit. Why would it not be working after four or five therapists?
Right. Well, at that point, I'd feel pretty safe saying that's a client issue or some incredibly bad luck. But, you know, sometimes people have fear of intimacy. Sometimes people are self-sabotagers, you know.
Do you have then maybe a recommendation, and I'm not asking for a person on there, but somebody who you know is real good getting through to that person and forcing that person to open up when others haven't?
Absolutely. Well, you know, the thing is that my cell phone is the crisis line for Legacy 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. I or someone from Legacy, usually me, will answer the phone if you are in crisis. And we will, if you're not in crisis, we'll direct you to where you need to go and get it in there. But if you're in crisis, You can always reach me 24 hours a day. And it's important to know that because there is help out there. There was someone who recently jumped off a bridge and killed themselves who was gay. And they had the phone number for Legacy in their pocket, but they never made the call. Mm. Broke my heart. And because I know had they called me, I could have helped them. And so I know this is a really tough time of the year for many people. Mm-hmm. People have a lot of time off. That gives you a lot of time to think. Too much thinking can be dangerous. Usually we're too busy to sit there and get too neurotic about things.
Well, and a lot of pressure.
A lot of pressure, a lot of expectations, a lot of self-assessment, a lot of family struggles. Many of you are just recovering from spending time with your families. My son asked me, he said, why are the movie theaters opened on Christmas Day when people could be spending time with their families?
And you said for the
and I
Jews.
Said, because, no, I said because people could be spending time with their families.
Right. No, well, the
they
answer,
may want to get away from
well,
their
the
families.
The answer is also for the Jews. What we do is we have Chinese food and then go to a movie because what else is there to do
there
on
you
Christmas
go.
Day for us?
But it's a very tough time of the year for many people. Yeah. And it's interesting at the counseling center because we have a lower number of people coming in for regular sessions in December, higher crisis number calls. But then January, we're busy because people realize I got to get some of this stuff straightened out. So January is the number one busiest month for Legacy.
Oh, isn't that interesting? And I guess that does make sense, even that December would be a low month because people feel like they're so busy and they're supposed to be so busy getting all these things done. And then in January, when those expectations weren't met.
A lot of people go into recovery. They think, oh, well, why go into recovery before New Year's?
Mm-hmm. Okay,
that seems like a waste.
Okay, now here's a question that I have for you. New Year's resolutions.
Yeah.
Do we make too many expectations of ourselves, make these resolutions, break them, and then say, oh, well, it's a week later. I guess I'll just break that resolution.
Well, I'm really biased because I love New Year's resolutions. To me, the New Year's is like clean slate. You are reborn. You're perfect. New Year's, you know, it's a great opportunity. But on the more realistic side for the average person, spend a little time thinking about what you would like to be different. Jot some things down. Keep that list with you. It doesn't have to be, you know, so hard and fast. I suggest take a legal pad, do it old school, and write down restaurants you've wanted to go to, people you've wanted to see, hobbies you've wanted to take out, career goals. Just jot some stuff down. Just go free flow. And then keep that list with you and read over it every so often. You'd be amazed how many of those things you cross off. Mm-hmm. You go, oh, I went to Dish on Cedar Springs. I've been wanting to go there. You can cross it off. Plus, what it does is you've heard of the book, The Law of Attraction.
Mm-hmm.
Really what that's all about is just being aware of what you want so when it's there, you notice.
But what too many people do is they make one or two New Year's resolutions. They're usually huge resolutions. I'm going to lose 100 pounds.
Yeah, break it down into small, tiny pieces. Don't beat yourself up. Or you're searching for progress, not perfection. And speaking of New Year's resolution, I just wanted to really quickly say a lot of people want to do more good for the community. They want, like Joe does so much good for the community. It adds meaning to our life when we help others. It also takes us out of our own personal headspace.
So for resolutions, you're recommending that people do some of those personal things, but do some things that are good goals for helping other people, and in helping other people, that's a way to help yourself.
There is nothing better to get perspective on your own problems than reaching out to other people. When you think you've got so many huge, horrible problems, you go do something for somebody else. And like my dad used to say, we all have our bag of rocks. If you threw your bag of rocks in the pile and saw everybody else's bag of rocks, you'd be scrambling to get your own bag of rocks out.
That's true.
It's important to remind ourselves and put things in perspective. You know, even the poorest person in our country is richer than the majority of people in the rest of the world. Mm-hmm. We are very blessed. But I can say that, but until you go out and do something, it's not going to make a difference. We've actually got an event in January on, it's going to be at Villa O. It's very casual. It's more of a happy hour sort of thing. It's our Legacies Legal 21st party, and it's basically just a volunteer get-to-know Legacy kind of thing. It's free. It's just show up, free food, cheap drinks, just meet some people from Legacy. And that's coming up, and it's on our website, www.legacycounseling.org. It's at Villa O on January 20th at 5 p.m.
And so Villa O is on Travis?
It's on Travis Walk in the Knox Henderson area. Starts at 5 o'clock. It's very casual. You're just going to get to meet a lot of people from Legacy. Joe, I hope you can make it. I'd love people to get a chance to meet you.
I'm going to try to do so.
And talking about people who volunteer, Joe, you are one of their volunteers, and one of the things that you've done is put together a wonderful fundraiser for anybody who wasn't listening earlier in the show. Tell us again quickly all the details of it.
A little overview of that, David, is in The Voice from this past Friday. Mm-hmm. They've got a beautiful little article about Leslie Jordan, and there's an interview with him on page 23. For anyone who doesn't know who Leslie Jordan is, you know, he was Brother Boy on Sordid Lives. He was on Will and Grace. Was on Boston Legal. He is absolutely hilarious. He has agreed to come and do a little benefit for us on Tuesday night, an intimate evening with Leslie Jordan, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. at the Vendome, 3505 Turtle Creek Boulevard, there at the corner of Lemon and Turtle Creek. Tickets are available by calling the Legacy Counseling Center, 214-520-6308, extension 1. Leave a message and they will call you back. For $85 a person. It's going to be some drinks, hors d'oeuvres, chat with Leslie. Christina Bowman, wonderful photographer, is volunteering her services that night. You'll have a photo op with Leslie. We've got sponsorships available for people who would like to donate $500 or more to help underwrite, or actually not underwrite, it's all been underwritten, to actually make donations straight to the Legacy Counseling Center and Founders Cottage. It's going to be great.
Good. And you're saying that Leslie will perform, but the minute he walks in the door, I'm sure he'll be performing.
He's on stage 24/7.
Yeah. And that's a nice point. We've had so many wonderful sponsors that 100% of the money that you give for your ticket is a donation. So that's a really nice thing. And it's obviously, with everything going on, this is a tough year for most charities. And so we really appreciate Joe putting this event together. It's going to be, not only is it going to be fun, it looks like it's going to raise a lot of money for a really great cause.
Mm-hmm. I have to say, I'm very grateful for my friends and those that have already contributed. I wrote a little letter out before mm-hmm. I headed out to Aspen and asked for some money for the cause. And we have already had people send in, you know, $500,000 each mm-hmm. sponsorships. And that's really wonderful because, like we said, everything is underwritten. I've underwritten Leslie. I'm underwriting the food. We have the liquor donated. Don Geyser's got.
But we're not talking about liquor because you do substance abuse. So.
Well, we do. You know, there's a place there. Not everybody is an alcoholic. So, you know, obviously alcohol is integrated into a lot of people's lives, and there's a place for it. But obviously, you know, I hope people listening, if you know you're one of those people who has problems with drinking, I hope you do consider.
And Jennifer just walked in the studio, so I do want to refer her to you.
But, there you go.
Go, Jennifer.
Well, and also I'd like to say if someone isn't positive, but they are seeking a therapist, they're also welcome to call and leave their number, and I'll get back to them and talk with them and help refer them to someone.
And help refer to the right person who specializes in those sorts of
issues. Whatever they need help with.
Right.
I'm happy to do that because I believe that we... You know, we're living in Texas. Louisiana spends more money on mental health and substance abuse than Texas.
Really?
Now, when Louisiana's kicking your butt in the social services, you have a problem, my friends.
Well, not just that, but just the difference in the population size.
Yeah, per capita.
Per capita.
Per capita. We're really about at the bottom. I think Arkansas spends less. That's the only other state. So that just makes mental health services and substance abuse services tougher to get, period.
So Mississippi spends more?
Yep.
Really?
Every other state but Arkansas.
Isn't that
shocking?
That's sad.
And appalling? It is.
Does it have to do with the gambling there, possibly?
Well, I really think, well, you know, when we're 49th out of 50, you know, that's not good. You know, it's not good. I don't know about the gambling and how that works for them, but really I think Texas is a real pull yourself up by your bootstraps mentality. The problem is that there are people who need help. That's why we also have more people in prisons.
Right. Well,
and
also, like you said, going for counseling is so much cheaper than actually treating it afterwards.
Oh, absolutely. Well, here's the way I look at it. Our annual budget is $800,000. If the treatment for one person with HIV infection can be up to $500,000 a year. So if in the course of our seeing hundreds and hundreds of clients at our counseling center, if we can work with people and teach them how to disclose, because that's the key, I bet you we're preventing a lot more than two infections a year. Mm-hmm. I think we're preventing hundreds and hundreds of infections. So mm-hmm. I think that Legacy is very cost efficient in that manner.
And not just that. I mean, this past year you said you had five successes at the cottage of people that you nursed back to health.
Yes.
It's so much cheaper to maintain a healthy person than it is to have somebody repeatedly go to the emergency room mm-hmm. for critical care for extremely serious illnesses.
We recently had someone who over the last year had spent over 200 days in emergency critical care, because every time they were discharged, they were in 15 times. Mm. Every time they were discharged, they basically went home and had no food and no one to take care of them, and then they got sick and had to go back. I mean, think of how expensive that is. So, of course, that's the cost side of it, which I think is important to note. But we've also saved five people's lives this year. I mean, there's no getting around it. At the cottage, that's five people who were sent to die and that we've nursed back to health. At the counseling center, as you can imagine, you know, I man the suicide crisis line. I get calls all the time for people, and then they also just come through our normal channels and they say, oh, my therapist Susan or my therapist Peter, if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be here today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the counseling center is the world's most boring tour, because you walk in, it's a bunch of closed doors. The life-changing work is on the inside.
Right.
The cottage, that's an amazing tour. And I'd also like to invite anybody who has a genuine interest to come to our event in January or call me, and I'll take you on a tour.
And we are out of time. Melissa, Joe, thank you so much for
being
here today.
Thank you so much for this opportunity.
Sure, and you'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more.
Sounds great.
Love to have you back again. We are going out with some music from Denise Lee, and this is Unconditional Love.
From hell.